I cut the tape in long strips, and Dick wrapped them around Mrs. Clutter's head like he'd wrap a mummy. He asked her, "How come you keep on crying? Nobody's hurting you." And he turned off the bedside lamp and said, "Good night, Mrs. Clutter. Go to sleep." Then he says to me, as we're heading along the hall toward Nancy's room, "I'm gonna bust that little girl." And I said, "Uh-huh. But you'll have to kill me first." He looked like he didn't believe he'd heard right. He says, "What do you care? Hell, you can bust her too." Now that's something I despise. Anybody that can't control themselves sexually. Christ, I hate that kind of stuff. I told him straight, "Leave her alone, else you've got a buzzsaw to fight." That really burned him, but he realized it wasn't the time to have a flat-out free-for-all. So he says, "Okay, honey, if that's the way you feel." The end of it was we never even taped her. We switched off the hall light and went down to the basement. Perry hesitates. He has a question but phrases it as a statement. I'll bet he never said anything about wanting to rape the girl. Dewey admits it, but he adds that except for an apparently somewhat expurgated version of his own conduct, Hickok's story supports Smith's. The details vary, the dialogue is not identical, but in substance, the two accounts, thus far at least, corroborate one another. Maybe. But I knew he hadn't told about the girl. I'd have bet my shirt. Dunce says, "Perry, I've been keeping track of the lights. The way I calculate it, when you turned off the upstairs light, that left the house completely dark."
Did.
And we never used the lights again. Except the flashlight. Dick carried the flashlight when we went to tape Mr. Clutter and the boy. Just before I taped him, Mr. Clutter asked me, and these were his last words. Wanted to know how his wife was, if she was all right. And I said she was fine. She was ready to go to sleep. And I told him it wasn't long till morning, and how in the morning somebody would find them. And then all of it, me and Dick and all, would seem like something they dreamed. I wasn't kidding him. I didn't want to harm the man. I thought he was a very nice gentleman. Soft-spoken. I thought so right up to the moment I cut his throat. Wait. I'm not telling it the way it was. Perry scowls. He rubs his legs. The handcuffs rattle. After we'd taped them, Dick and I went off in a corner. To talk it over. Remember now, there were hard feelings between us. Just then it made my stomach turn to think I'd ever admired him, lapped up all that brag. I said, "Well, Dick, any qualms?" He didn't answer me. I said, "Leave them alive, and this won't be any small rap. 10 years, the very least." He still didn't say anything. He was holding the knife. I asked him for it, and he gave it to me, and I said, "All right, Dick. Here goes." But I didn't mean it. I meant to call his bluff, make him argue me out of it, make him admit he was a phony and a coward. See, it was something between me and Dick. I knelt down beside Mr. Clutter, and the pain of kneeling. I thought of that goddamn dollar, silver dollar, the shame, disgust. And they'd told me never to come back to Kansas.